So grateful. Here we are. Here we are. We enter your word with the reverence that it deserves, with all sense of humility, being fully aware of the limitation of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed and coded into this written word. Certainly we need help to unravel and to decode it in a way that we can all understand, act upon, and benefit from. Consequently, we ask for fresh unction and anointing from heaven. Firstly, upon my heart and my lips, that indeed I would speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that is listening to me. Those who are here now, those who will be listening to me remotely, electronically, so that the word will have free course from you through me to the people to do an eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds more enlightened with revelation knowledge, our emotions to be more controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in more than sufficient measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and release it all the earth. Power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of the things which they hear and on hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word. So I will do it rather with precision. I will redeem the time and say only what you want me to say. Bring out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with the prayer, receiving the blessing in their individual life, said, Amen. We're going to continue our study in God's word. In our last study, we concluded James chapter 3, talking about taming the tongue. And I specifically said then that this is one of the most significant scriptures in the entire Bible, because it actually gives us the secret to spiritual success and material and physical success for that matter. You know, it says that anybody who can control his tongue is a perfect man. And he can control, the word bridle, the old English, you know, his whole body. Not only his body, but his circumstances. Because the Bible tells us that the tongue is a fire, and it is set on the fire of hell, and it sets into motion the cycle of natural events. Consequently, the man who can control the tongue will control the cycle of natural events. You know, and that's something all of us should want to learn and master. Hallelujah. Give me that scripture where it says, the Amplified, where it says, control the natural events. Just quickly, we're going to chapter 4 this morning. I think it's verse, what verse is it? I think it's verse, yes, here we are. No, this is verse 2. There's one, I think it's verse 6. Thank you, Pastor G. Verse 6. Everybody say, and the tongue is a fire. I didn't hear you. The tongue is a world of wickedness set among our members, contaminating and depraving the whole body and setting on fire the wheel of birth, the cycle of man's nature, being itself ignited by hell. Now, we know the problem is not the tongue. Tongue is a physical organ. The problem is the heart. Because of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. But you see, the secret here is that, I said this last time, Satan from the air via the heart controls the tongue. And that's why you find, you know, men all over, I mean Christians too, you know, undeveloped Christians, Christians who don't know this truth, or they know it and they're not diligent about practicing it, you know, saying all kinds of things. The Bible says life and death are in the power of the tongue. And sets in all kinds of, you know, all kinds of terrible things into motion, you know, in the cycle of natural events. So when things happen, don't just think they just happen. They're happening as a consequence of words that have been spoken, you know, prior to that time. You know, and the good news anyway is that you can tame the tongue. You know, he says the tongue can no man tame. But that's, you know, again, you don't run away with the letter. He's not saying the tongue cannot be tamed. He just said that you can't tame the tongue with natural human power. You've got to use the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll just quickly reiterate what I said, because it is so important. You tame your tongue by keeping God's life in your heart through the, you know, the blood. You clean with the blood. Then you put the life of God inside your heart. You put the word of God inside your mouth. And you pray in tongues. So everybody say, the blood, the life, the word, and tongues, or the spirit. That's how you tame it all. And that's the sequence. You know, it's a sequence. You know, I was teaching somewhere recently, and I said to them, you know, what I've said here very many, many times, you know, spiritual things have a technology to them. We use the word technology, you know, to show that it's systematized, it's systematic, based on principles. They don't just happen. You know, and that's why Jesus operated spiritual law with understanding. He knew exactly. Now, we didn't live in our own time where we have all the knowledge of science and technology and natural illustrations that we can use today. But he used illustrations of his own time that were available at his own time. And he knew how to operate. He knew why he was doing what he was doing. And he knew how to do it, you know, such that it would produce the results that God wanted him to produce. He didn't do things haphazardly. That's, you know, I'm still, I'm marking Jesus closely by the grace and mercy of God. You know, and the more I study the four Gospels under the Holy Spirit, you know, and I've been reading these things for years, you know, new things keep, getting unveiled. You know, not that they were always in the Word, but, you know, at a higher level of clarity, a higher level of understanding. Isn't Jesus would just withdraw? He would just withdraw. He would have been done great, then he would just withdraw. What do you think he's doing? He's going to replenish the power that he's put out. He understood, thank you. He understood that if he lets that power level get below a particular threshold level, he's not going to get the same results he's getting. And you can see snippets of that. One time he prayed for one man. The man didn't see immediately. Spirit without measure. Still spirit without measure. But it had diminished. So, you know, he said, what do you see? He said, I see man. Then he put, look, watch this. He put his hands on him again. He said, I see man clearly. When he sees things like that, he would withdraw. Amen. You see some other times, You can actually see the levels of anointing. Do you understand? You can see it go up and down. Let me explain something on this that's very, very important. What is this spirit without measure? You know, again, don't run away with the letter. Try and get the spirit behind it. It means that it is so big compared to the spirit with measure. You see, what we have now is the earnest of the Spirit. I'll probably talk about this later in my main message. We have the earnest of the Spirit, and we thank God for that, and we don't despise it. In fact, we need to treasure it and then use it properly. And it's a great, thank God for what we've got, because, you know, it's the thing that, someone like me, for example, it's the thing that convinces me that what I'm doing is going to produce results, because I've got the first fruits, and the first fruits is supernatural. No, it's producing results daily. I prayed in tongues this morning. Hello, somebody. And here I am manifesting what I pray. Are you listening to me? Okay, so, but when we talk about spirit without measure, what we're saying is, let me use numerical, you know, a numerical analogy. You know, this, again, it's an illustration. Let's say the spirit with measure is 100. Let's just, you know, I'm just using that. When you see spirit without measure, you're looking at something that's maybe, you know, about, $20 billion or something like that. Now, relative to 200 is without measure. That's what it's meant. But if you're at the 20 billion level and you start oscillating between 20 billion, 15 billion, 10 billion, then you go back up to 20 billion, then you go to 25 billion, then you come back to 15 billion. That's what I mean when I say it's oscillating. So it may be 20 billion. I'm just using, you know, figures to illustrate. It may be a measure of 20 billion or 25 billion that causes 5,000 people to be healed instantly. And you see that in Jesus' ministry. But you see another time, it doesn't happen like that. Have you noticed? It wasn't every day. Now, you see that time, you preach to a crowd. The Bible says, and virtue went out of him and healed them. Oh, then you see another day, he's walking around and nobody's getting healed. You know how virtue has stopped too? It's still there, but it's at another level. There's some people like the woman with the issue of blood just coming and tap the thing. Pass. But the other one, they didn't even touch him. It was wireless transmission. He just stood in one place and thing was... I'm beginning to see that, you know, this thing is, we, you know, when you read the Bible and just reading on the surface, you begin to see, you see in another place, he spoke to the fig tree. But it was 24 hours later. Then you will see another time where he will speak and be instant. What's happening? That's what he would be watching. So when he sees that thing go down, he'll go and pray. And see that thing, you go and pray. Then you come back again in full force. Then he will use it. It will go down again and he'll go and pray. He never let that thing go below a particular level. That's why you constantly see the miracles. When they came to him about Lazarus, he didn't rush. He had to load up. He had to load up and pray properly. So when he got there, at the time they came, Lazarus wasn't dead, he was sick. He died in the interim. But Jesus knew going there, just rushing over there, you know, was not going to get the job done. So he stayed there for 2 days. He prayed the thing through. And put the power at that level. So when he got there, he knew exactly what he was going to do. You know what he said? He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. And he said, I'm glad I was not there for your sakes. So you guys will see something you have not seen before. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah, you're going to see another level of power that you have never seen before. You know? And he went, you know, and he said so. You know, this is not pie in the sky. He said so. He said, Father, I thank you. You have heard me. When did he hear him? When he was back there 2 days before. He looked up and said, Father, you know, he said, I don't say it for the Lord. I say it for their sake so that they will believe. And he said, yeah, let's go. Where are we putting him? Are you trying something? He knew exactly, you will get there in Jesus' name. We will get there. When I get that kind of place, you'll be seeing the power of God on a consistent basis. It will fluctuate a little bit, but it will still be within a limit where it's still producing those supernatural, spectacular results. You know, John was the closest person to Jesus. When he was writing, he said, there are so many things the man did. Only God knows. That's one movie I'm going to watch when I get to heaven. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to have entertainment. Amen. Because God's recording everything. Yes! Everything is being recorded. You know, I like to watch the movie of your life. Let me just, I'm your sorry, man. Yeah, this is just a joke, you know. But, you know, they will edit it. All those bad parts, the blood would have. So the movie will start. Fast forward. You know, it's true. This is not just something, you know, it's true from Bible. We know that the blood, you know, that's what happened to Roland Bach. How many people know Roland Bach? Angel, how many people have read the book Angels of Assignment? Can a lot of charming generation here. They don't read. It's free. It's on the internet. Just put Angels on Assignment. You will see free PDF. Just download it. It's compulsory reading. Just go and read it. Roland Bach went to heaven. You know, Gabriel appeared to him quite a number of times. And God took him. He's an Assembly of God guy. He don't believe in all this prophetic and he didn't know all of those guys. So that's why I know it's true. You know, because I know he was saying things that were far beyond his own normal, you know, Pentecostal doctrine. You know, but it was a great experience. And one of the times, or many times, there's a chapter in the book called A Visit to the Throne Room. Yeah. So God took him. You know, he said he saw the place. It was full of archives. He said it will make your head swim. And God had a file for everybody. So he said, God pulled Abraham's own out. You know, God pulled Abraham's own out. And he began to read. He said, he didn't see all the bad things Abraham did that's inside the Bible. he didn't see Hagar. He didn't see. He said, God. He said, I don't put negative things in something. I've edited it. Said, the blood cleansed it forever. So it's not in the archives in heaven. Isn't that good news? Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. So I can watch the movie of your life. I will watch it. I'm going to ask for all those files. So, Pastor, give me Pastor Boy, guys, won't give me. I want to check them out. You know, but the good news is, you know, God is a good God. That's why I said all of that. It doesn't happen, you know, it just happened. You know, no. That's why you've got to learn the principles. So everybody, again, the blood, the word, no, the blood, the life, the word, and the spirit. Let's say it again. The blood, the life, the word, and the spirit. Now, keep that once every 6 hours and at every opportunity. That's the secret. That's the secret. If you keep saying the right thing, you won't say the wrong thing. Amen. Then you tame the tongue. Amen. Now, you can look back on your life now and find out, is my tongue tamed? Oh, let's rephrase the question. How tame is my tongue? Because there's nobody who has a tongue completely tamed. Well, we should, you know. But how tame is my tongue? And if you find that it's not as tame, then start applying that thing better. I can say that for my own personal life, my personal experience, I can tell you it is true. My tongue now is far more under control than it used to be. I still fly off the handle once in a while. You know, well, I'm in good company. Paul did, didn't he? Said, thou whitewashed wall. God. But look at Jesus. Complete control. And by the mercy and the grace of God, God's helping me too. I'm getting there. You know, you get me angry now. You know, I got wonderful people around me. God sent them to me to perfect me. They do and say all kinds of things, you know. But I don't say the wrong thing. I don't say the wrong thing. Even when I have to correct, I correct. I can be very tough. I can be very hard, but not sin. I just say what God told me to say. What is in line with the word of God, you know? So I've learned it. I'm still learning it. You can and you must control your tongue. Remember, the tongue is not the problem. The problem is the heart. And that's why you need the blood, the life, the word, and the spirit. But the more you do it, I said this many years ago when I taught on the same scripture, God gave us tongues to tame our tongue. It's a word of wisdom. And that's why it's called tongues. I would say tongues will tame your tongue. So the more you pray in tongues, the more you will tame your tongue. The less you pray in tongues effectively now. That's why you need the blood, the life, and the word. It's not just praying in tongues. You know, all that background has to be there. The better you pray in tongues, the more you tame your tongue. You know, and you keep talking what God will say. You get to a point where you will talk like God does unconsciously, just like you talk like the devil does now unconsciously. Am I talking to anybody here? I know you are holier than me. Praise the Lord. How many people have said something they didn't mean to say? Out of anger, out of idleness. Every idle word. You know, I just gisting, gist, stupid gist. Hello, somebody. I know it's Christmas Day, but Christmas Day has passed. Hello, somebody. It is the truth. All of us do it. Do you understand? You know, you don't know, you're not planning to say anything bad. It just comes out, you know. Something negative, something gossip. Hello. Something about this person did this, blah, blah, blah. Hello. You don't even think about it. You didn't plan to say it. The time will come when you'll be talking to God's word like that. Without planning to think or say it. Because the Spirit of God that is inside you is now in dominance. So you will be like Jesus. You can truly say, I only say what God says. That's what Jesus said, didn't he? He said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. I don't say anything outside that. How can that be? Of course it can be. This is the secret. Of course it can be. Only what God will say. If God doesn't say it, I'm not saying it. Let's put it this way. If God doesn't approve it, I'm not saying it. You see, God doesn't have to say it. But it has to be something that is in line with what God would say. Am I talking to anybody here? Okay, now let's go to chapter 4. We got a few verses, and then we'll continue in our next lesson. That's a great... Go back and do a review of that James chapter 3, personally. Get this CD or the computer, you know, the MP3 file. Take your Bible and... I hear people are listening to me. Your pastor will be talking, you just be... Your heart, you are doing your own. Go back, review it. Take your Bible. Take your pencil or whatever, take your notebook and take notes. Say, what is this thing this man said? This blood, where is it? Oh yeah, give me scripture for that. The life, give me scripture for that. Word, give me scripture for that. Spirit, give me scripture for that. Let me see, how do I tie it together so that I can start doing this thing? You will tame your tongue in 2016. Oh. You will bridle your body. You will control your circumstances. Things will not begin to pressure you. You will pressure them. Yes. By taming your tongue. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Chapter 4. Verse 1 to 4. To start, we're going to go to verse 10 if we can. Let's just read. Say, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war, where? He's talking about the physical body. He's talking about, you know, the desires, the feelings inside your body, and of course your soul, because it's really tied together. The mind, the will, the emotions, and the physical body. Next verse. He says, you lust. You lust. You have not and have not. You kill. The translation says you envy. And he was like, no, that scripture don't talk to me. I haven't killed anybody. You don't have to kill them physically. Just kill them in your heart. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war
yet you have not, because you ask not. I'm going to move to the next verse in a minute, but I want you to see something. You would think, mommy, you would think James was around today. This is a very graphic description of the current condition of the majority of the church. Lust, envy, warrings, fighting, strife. Get a bunch of Christians together. I was thinking about something came to me this morning in my prayer. You know, I'm praying. I pray the Spirit, God's thoughts begin to bubble up inside you. And this thought came to me. I'm not going to preach it, but it just came to me. He said, which do you prefer, title or anointing? A friend of ours came to see us yesterday, you know, and I was saying to her, when going back memory lane when we first met, you know, my wife and I and her husband, how they were younger Christians than us, and over the years God has helped them and they've grown. And I said, like you now, like my wife now, I said, you're pastors. She said, pastor, I'm not a pastor. I said, what do you want, the title or the anointing? You don't have to have the title. My wife is a pastor. She doesn't carry the title. It's the truth. She's a pastor. I didn't say you're not Sarah Johnson, but you're a pastor. You have a pastor anointing. It's not the title. And you know what is causing the envy and the problem? The title. That's why I remember that. Everybody's fighting for title. Fighting for, you lost, you desire, you fight. Koye woni. Money, I'll give you all your remaining titles. So. You fight, you war, you have nobody's truth. After you can, you have the anointing without having the title. Which do you want? The recognition of men by the title, or the approval of God by the anointing? Take your pick. Another message for another day. Verse 3. Am I helping anybody here? You ask and you receive not. Watch this. Because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. May God have mercy on us. Honey, watch this. They ask amiss and yet they are now getting it. You see, God won't give it. But somebody else will. He says, he gave them the desire of their heart. But he sent leanness to their, that they may consume it upon their lusts. He said, while the meat was in their mouth, God slew the fattest of them. He said, they were not estranged from their lusts. They got what their lust asked for. Be careful, though. That you don't get what your loss asks for. You see, when God doesn't give it, don't be like Balaam. You know, God told Balaam, don't. But the lost. Promise me, in Jesus' name. The man continued to pray. Go way back to God. God said, you can go. The Bible says, and God was angry with him because he went. And he sent an angel to stop him on the way. When Peter was going to describe this later on in the New Testament, he said, Balaam, the son of Bozo, forbid the madness of the prophet because of covetousness. It has entered the church. In our language, that means it's blocking our throat and it's killing us. You lust, you envy, you desire to have, you ask, you receive not. Because you ask amiss. When they ask and they don't get, And God doesn't give. He says he did not answer Saul, neither by prophets, nor by visions, nor by Urim and Thurim. Then he went to the witch at Endor. As come on now. I call it passive witchcraft. There's passive witchcraft, there's active witchcraft.
Look at the Amplified Bible of this. Thank you, darling. Verse 3, yes. From verse 1. Alright, let's do that. He said, what leads to strife? Thank you, darling. Discord and feuds. And how do conflicts, quarrels, and fightings originate among you? Do they not arise from your what? Sensual desires that are ever warring in your bodily members. Let's ask a question here. I like the word worry here. You know, what are they warring against? What are they warring against? They are warring against the desires of God. You see, God's desires are trying to work in your mind, in your will, in your emotion, and in your body. But there's not a desire from the outside, from the air, via the sin nature on your side, that is in conflict with the divine desire. Hello, somebody. Verse 2. You are jealous. In the other place, they say you kill. This is nicer. You are jealous and covet what others have. And your desires go unfulfilled. So you become murderers. To hate is to murder. I said it already. As far as your hearts are concerned. Everybody go and get an Amplified Bible. If you don't have an Amplified, this is compulsory. Don't enter 269 on an Amplified Bible. As you read King James, go and read Amplified. Personally. All of you get it on your computer. It's free. Well, it's not free, but it's not very expensive. You burn with envy and anger and are not able to obtain the gratification, the commitment, and the happiness you seek. So you fight and war. You do not have because you do not ask. Next verse. Thank you, darling. Or you ask God for them and yet fail to receive because you ask with the wrong purpose and evil and selfish motives. Your intention is when you get what you desire to spend it on sensual pleasures. I can stop here and preach a camp meeting. Why do you want that breakthrough? Let me ask you a better question. Why do you want that car? Why do you want it? The one you have now, won't it take you from point A to point B? You know my definition of a car. It's a mechanical contraption that has been designed to take you from point A to point B. A Volkswagen will do it. But a Rolls Royce will also do it. They're not on a Rolls Royce. Though. But why do you want the Rolls Royce? Why is it that the Volkswagen is not enough? And the thing is doing in your heart. You know why? You want to ride the Rolls Royce so that the other people can see you and say, Ranka Dede. If there is one place on the earth that this thing is true, it's Nigeria. We specialize in the pride of life. Don't let me go there. I will go off my message. You know, what will make people steal billions? What's he want to do with it? What does he want to do with it? Sensual pleasures. You see this? You see them misbehaving all over the whole place. Have one girlfriend in Tokyo. Have another one in Paris. Have another one in London. Have one, three in Dubai. Have this one. One person. Chineke God. It's a very serious matter. That's what he wants the money for. That's what he wants the money for.
And you're not going to get it from God. I didn't say you won't get it. But it won't be from God. Next verse. Oh God, have mercy. I got to stop. You adulterers. Go back to the King James. We'll come back to the Amplified when I want you to come to. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world, oh my God, is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world. But I want everybody to hear this thing. Notice this was not written to sinners. Remember, how did we start the book of James? My brethren, count it all joy. He was not writing to sinners. He's the same my brethren. He's saying you adulterers and adulteresses. Same my brethren. Same my brethren. This, you know, when we read that for unbelief. No! It's talking to the church. The carnal church. The harlot church. The Babylon church. Adulterers and adulteresses. I want to say this. When I became a Christian, to the glory of God, my first running was not very good because I was not taught. I didn't have a church. I didn't have a pastor. I was reading books that confused me. So, of course, Satan came in. Then I got restored back. And then God, in His mercy, took me to England and then put me in a place where I had some kind of protection. You know, a local church, and then started getting Kenneth Hagin's books. And I got baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I started having understanding. I started praying. I cut off my friendship with the world. I'm a nice guy, to the glory of God. I enjoy myself. I listen to music. I watch nice movies. I'm not ecstatic. I'm not a, how can I call it? You know, there's a word I'm looking for. It'll come to me. You know, I'm not the kind of Christian who is restricted as far as, I believe in liberty of the spirit. You know, the other day I was teaching them in Lagos and I was saying, God did not say you shouldn't wear gold. God did not say you shouldn't do your hair. Because if you say you shouldn't wear gold, you shouldn't wear clothes. It's all in the same verse. You can't interpret. You cannot have one interpretation for the gold and the hair, and then have another interpretation for the clothes. What he's talking about is don't spend all your time on clothes, hair, and gold. That's what he's saying. And don't let gold and hair and something be in your heart. Well, it'll be ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. That's what he's saying. You know, so I don't believe in all those, you know, that. But right on the other hand, I have seen a complete reversal. You know, there's so much love of the world in the church today. Ah! What is the world? I'm going to close. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye. I didn't define it. God defined it. It's in 1 John chapter 3. The lust of the flesh, that is appetites, the appetites of the physical body, that will include food, sex, you know, and other things that the flesh just likes, you know. Then there's the lust of the eye. They're not the same. Then there's a lust of the eyes, which is an inordinate love for material things. The Yoruba will call it ojukokoro. You see, with children, you buy a toy for this child. You give it to him. He's playing, he's happy. Then you buy another toy and give it to this one. The minute he sees this one is no longer important. He will not rest until he gets the other one. You know the only difference between them? The colors. This one is red and the one is yellow. You know how I know? I used to do when I was a child. What is the difference? My mother had to come home and say, "Uchukukuro." Learn to be content with what you have. That is your own. That's his own. It's human nature. It's the devil's nature. You know, when you see another person have something, some people are not happy until they get it. Or something better. Then what they have, they no longer value it. It is only what that other person has. Call on Shanua. Say, Pastor, I know this. No, this is basic Christianity. And this is, if we don't overcome these things, we will keep going around in circles in the wilderness and sadly perish in the wilderness. It will not be your portion in Jesus' name. That's what happened to Israel. They never entered the promised land. They kept going around. The church has been doing this for 2,000. We're going around and round and round and round. Covetousness. And I tell my children and all the young people, listen, be careful the music you listen to. I did something when I was a young man. I was 21 years old. 20. I wasn't yet 21. I had a stack of the latest records. Pastor G. The latest. My father gave me my money when I was in Imperial College then, you know. Because there was no internet or anything like that. Y'all gave me £3,000. Bass. Put in your account. He said, if he finishes, he's finished. You know, my father told me, he said, if he's finished, he's finished. Don't come and tell me any story. He's finished, he's finished. And I know my dad, when my dad tells me that, I know. And God helped me. You know, God really helped me. I put it, you can't believe it. That's how I opened my first NatWest account. We're still using the same account today. I put the money there. But you know, I hadn't been properly sanctified. The sanctification was taking place, but there. So I went to buy these heavy stereos. Yes! Top quality, the very best. Kashala Baraka. I went down to Edgware Road. It was very near where we are. You know, bought the thing, put everything. Started listening to all my. Now I started praying in tongues. The Holy Ghost told me one day, he said, this thing you are listening to will pollute your heart. He said, changed. It was a very difficult thing for me. Very difficult. I said, God. He said, do you want to love the world? He said, I got some nice music too, you know. That's how I started getting David Ingles and somewhere. So you know what God did? There was a group there. I think they're still around, you know, it's been many years now. You know, there was Evie. How many people know Evie? Different generation. You know, there was a group called Second Chapter of Acts. It was taken from Acts chapter 2, you know, and the Holy Ghost. So they used to play very nice music, the same type that I used to listen to before, but very nice, you know, nice instrumental, nice guitar solos, nice bass, nice everything. So God said, I got something better. I said, yes, sir. He said, okay, now take it. He said, you can't give it out. Inside it was this Santana, Black Magic Woman. Can you imagine? That was the name of a record. Black. You know, we were unbelievers. We didn't know what it meant. Black Magic Woman. It was by a guy called Carlos Santana. There were others. You know, the other side, you know, the dark side of the moon. Pink Floyd. Hotel California. God said, be careful. So you know what I did? I took all the records. Put them inside here. This thing. He said, what mommy was talking about the other day, what she does in America, the chute. Where they shoot. Where the thing goes down in the dustbin. So once you put it, you can't get it out. So I carried. Then I now put all the Christian music. So it was a Christian music, you know. And God said, be careful the lyrics. So not even all Christian music. Some Christian was just noise. said, what will build your spirit? And I severed the connection with the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. You need to ask yourself a question. Are you still of the world? Thank you, mommy. Only mommy and Pastor Boyega clap. I said, I'm in the world and I'm not of the world. Now ask yourself the question, are you still in the world? Do you still love the world? I appreciate good music, don't misunderstand me. I appreciate good music, I appreciate nice things. I wear nice clothes, I eat good food. God gave us all things richly to enjoy. So God is not saying you shouldn't enjoy, He just saying, do it under me. I want to tell you, particularly young people, I want to tell all of you today, Satan has nothing better to offer. And whatever he gives you will kill you. So you better cut it off. His design is ultimately going to kill you. People think, oh, you know, I won't enjoy anymore. He told you a lie. Come and ask us. I'm enjoying life. By the grace and the mercy of God, I have a beautiful wife. To the glory of God. Lovely children. Yes. We're going to be 30 years our anniversary in February. Can you imagine 30 years? God has been good to me. We are going to Hawaii. I've been saying it. Finally. I've done the booking of the ticket. We're going to go to Beijing. Then from there we'll go to Hawaii. Yeah. After 30 years, I think I'll kill a shame now. But you know, while I'm in Hawaii, I'll still pray. I'll still wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yes, my wife knows. Mom, you won't change me. I'm not going to Hawaii to go and look at all those funny girls who dance on the beach. I want daughters of the East Country. You know, the Bible has a name for all these people. The Bible is a complete book. Do you understand? So God is not saying we shouldn't enjoy. He just says, make sure I'm inside it. Make sure. Whatever you want to enjoy, make sure it is I am there with you. So always ask me, is this okay? I say, yes, okay, fine. This one okay? No, don't do that. This one's okay. Friendship, I got to stop. Friendship with the world is enmity with God. God doesn't like it. He doesn't want us to be worldly. He doesn't want us to have lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride, this pride of life. Be a person that, you know, like what my wife was sharing about her experience in California with Darren and William. You know, to the glory of God, she's a CEO here, she has servants, yeah. But she got to a place where, you know, a situation and a circumstance where she had to take the form of a servant. And therefore, you know, and it couldn't be pretended. Thank you. It had to be done. Hello, somebody. Amen. But you know, if it was not in the heart, it cannot come out. It will not come out. It will show. That's when it will show up what's inside the heart. It's the truth. You know, that's when what is inside the heart will come out. The pride. I can't enter this your small car. William and Dara, I can't enter this your small car. You know, do you know the kind of car I use in Nigeria? I can't enter this your tiny car with you people, you know. No. No, it's the truth. Let me tell you something, brethren. You know, God will allow situations to come up where you have to take a lower position. If there is no pride of life in your heart, it won't affect you. I got to close. You know, things are just coming to my heart. You know, examples and things. You know, I'll take it from here in my next lesson. You know why God said we should not love the world? Because God is a jealous God. How many people know that scripture in the Bible? It's a long time I've heard anybody preach it. It's Exodus 34:14. Quickly put it on the board. God is a jealous God. He does not want to, watch this. He does not want to share his affections with any other God. You know what affection is? If you have your wife or your husband, you know, and the person starts liking somebody else's company more than your own, they start showing tenderness and affection to, it's not bad to be kind to other people, don't misunderstand me, but they start doing it much more to them than to you, to the point where they're almost ignoring you and spending more of their watch the word affection to that person. What will it provoke? Jealousy. It's a godly jealousy. It's wrong. That's what happens. Jesus is our first love. When I start, when Stalala gave an illustration many years ago. I've never forgotten it. Time of sharing in church here. He said many times, we just want to quickly pray. Pray. I've done my prayer. I've given God his own. Now I can do what I really want to do. So my affection, that prayer, I do it as a duty so that I can say I've ticked the register. But my affection, my heart is not with God. The time of prayer was not a time of enjoyment. It was not a time of fellowship. It was not a time of love. You make God jealous. Does God want us to have nice things? Yes. Does God want us to have nice things? Yes. But I enjoy him first. And it's with that enjoyment that he has given me that I now go and do the other things. I actually don't get pleasure out of those things. Because it's the pleasure I get from God that makes me now enjoy those things. Once the God something is not there, those things, they don't really matter. So that's why it really won't, it doesn't matter the car I drive, it doesn't matter the house I live in, it doesn't matter the food. All those things, you can have them. And God wants us to have them because he wants us to have good things, you know. But even when they are not there, the contentment is still there. The satisfaction is still there because the satisfaction does not come from those things. It comes from God. Closing. If the satisfaction and the pleasure starts coming from the things rather than from God, your heart is still loving the world. Let us pray. Your satisfaction, your contentment must come from God, not from the things God has given you. When the things are more important than God, when if you don't have the thing, you can't rest. If you don't have the thing, you cannot be happy. If you don't have the thing, you cannot be satisfied. You got a problem. Does God want you to have things? Yes. But he wants your contentment, your satisfaction, your desire, your affection to be first with him. Then it is from that base you can then make you, everything he's given us in this world, we just use it sparingly. He said, for the fashion of this world is coming to an end. Friendship with the world. Next lesson, we'll learn how to not allow this happen, overcome the loss of the flesh, loss of the eyes. The same things we've talked about, the blood, the word, and the spirit will help you so that your affections, your emotions, your desires can always be toward God and not toward things. Then you will use things. Things will not use you. So when you have a nice car, you use it. You know, I have good cars now. So when I want to go to Lagos, I want to know that my car is safe. You know, I have, you know, it can go on the express. It can get me where God wants me to go quickly. Yes!
good things, but not to show off, not the pride of life. Who cares?
Never let it be that I will please you. Never let it be that I will turn away. Never let it be, Lord. Never let it be that I will love you.
Say, Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I repent of every tendency of my heart to love the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. My God,
I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning. I make a fresh, wholehearted commitment to loving you, to putting you first in my life above every other thing, and to only enjoy things under your lordship. Oh God, help my heart. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Keep my heart, Lord God, constantly in your fear. Keep my heart with purity of motive. Keep my heart in loving you and not things above you. Oh God, I know according to your word, you want me to enjoy all things richly. You're a good God. You've given us all these things. But I will never substitute them for you. I will never put them on a higher level of priority and affection above you. God, have mercy. Holy Spirit, you work in my heart to will and to do of God's good pleasure. Come, help me. Help my heart. Help my heart not to love the world, but to love you first and primarily, in Jesus' name. Nekatolo mashel, zikito frenenga, lapriketoske frenes, zeliketoske frenengas, lapriketa soleme, haha, sokotolo mashanga, tolomotu frenengast, zufrini, tolomashangi, tolomangato frenes. Tolomo tolomo to frido 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 freshe ziki to fre lo prakashaka tolomangara zufriya donga gama tolomo shangi tolomo to freshe tolomo shanga tolomo tolo lo burro como tolo frido 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 freshe tolomo so gogo tolomo 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 to freshe zufrido como tolomo tolomo sto frido frido tolomo shangara zifri tolomangara zakatolo maga lo prakoma tolomo sto fre Non gitalas, defidias, non fe, tolomashakis, tolomangas, jikitu fre, lumbrias, tufrenengas, tushkufrenes, talamashiki, tufrene, limbrika kakroma tufre, tufrenes. In Jesus' name, may be seated.